Today, Newsweek reported that the Justice Department plans to take another run at breaking confidentiality between reporters and government sources. Justice will ask as many as 100 federal employees to sign waivers that would retract any confidentiality agreement they may have made with reporters. Officials say this would aid in the investigation of the 2001 anthrax attacks. The effort is controversial and could have profound effects on how journalists do their job. If you're a government worker, would you talk to a reporter, or would you view it as too risky? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, the email address, TOTN@NPR.org. Joining us now is Newsweek correspondent Michael Isikoff, who is covering this story, indeed broke this story. He joins us by phone from his office here in Washington. Good to have you back on the program.
Good to be with you.
Now, this is not the first time the government has used these waivers of confidentiality agreements.
Right. In fact, this is an indication of how the this technique is catching on. We saw this first late last year in the Valerie Plame CIA leak investigation. This is the investigation being conducted by Patrick Fitzgerald, special counsel, into who leaked the identity of undercover CIA agent Valerie Plame's name to columnist Robert Novak. Prime suspects have been White House officials and other senior Bush administration officials who were trying to get back at her Plame's husband, Joseph Wilson, who'd been a critic of the White House on Iraq. And to get get journalists to disclose who they talked to in the administration, Fitzgerald had circulated to White House employees and others in the administration these waiver statements saying, I have informed the FBI of what I remember talking to reporters about, and I hereby waive any promise of confidentiality that I got from those reporters so that they can talk to you, the government, about what I may have told them.
Mm-hmm. So that happened, and what you now have is two reporters, I believe, and it's Judith Miller of the New York Times and Matt Cooper of Time Magazine, who have been cited for contempt for refusing to say who their sources were.
Exactly. They are facing jail time, in fact, and there's going to be a quite significant U.S. Court of Appeals argument next Wednesday on this very issue. The government, in the form of Patrick Fitzgerald, is saying, look, there's no reason they shouldn't talk to me and talk to the grand jury about what White House officials told them, because they've all signed these waiver agreements. And what the reporters are arguing is these waivers are completely meaningless. They don't absolve me of my obligation to protect the confidentiality of my sources at all. And what's more, obviously, anybody who got distributed these waivers would have felt compelled to sign them. They still work for the White House. They still work for the Justice Department or work for other avenues of the government. And if the government asks you to sign a statement, there's an inherently coercive nature to that, and so therefore nobody is voluntarily waiving those the confidentiality promise at all.
And of course the government says, of course, they're completely voluntary. We would never force anybody to do anything like this against their will. So that's a fundamental disagreement. Now, how does that extend from the Plame case to the anthrax case?
Exactly. This shows how this tactic or technique, which some people would view many in the press would view as insidious, can quickly catch on. In the anthrax case, what you have is a lawsuit filed by Stephen Hatfill, the bioterrorism expert who was publicly identified by Attorney General John Ashcroft as a person of interest in the anthrax case. There's no question that he was a prime subject of investigation by the FBI, and there was widely reported in the press the FBI's interest in him as a possible culprit in the attacks. Now, he has never been charged, and there's no indication that the FBI has been able to advance the ball to to charge Stephen Hatfield at all. He has countered with a lawsuit demanding a leak investigation into anybody who leaked to members of the press information about him, damaging information about him. It's a Privacy Act case, actually. And to spur that leak investigation, his lawyers, Hatfield's lawyers, caught on to the Valerie Plame waiver and said, hey, if the government is serious about finding out who leaked damaging information in this case, why don't they use the Plame waiver? And in fact, a federal judge in Washington, who's overseeing the case, said, sounds like a good idea to me, and he has ordered the Justice Department to distribute these waiver statements to as many as 100 people who are involved in the anthrax case.
And there are other kinds of cases where this could also be applied. For example, today, grand jury testimony was allegedly leaked to the San Francisco Chronicle in the case of Jason Giambi, the baseball player who reportedly admitted that he did use steroids during the 2003 season. Grand jury testimony, federal grand jury testimony, that's supposed to be secret. Leaking it is a crime.
Look, there's no question that leaks go on every day, and that there's no question that there have been a multiplying number of leak investigations in this administration. You have an era, you have a White House that's predisposed against too much public information to begin with. These people, the Bush White House, they don't make any secret about the fact that they believe in secrecy. As a matter of course, they believe in too much talking is bad for government. And then when you lay over on that the whole war on terrorism and the significance that has played in dominating the events in Washington these days, which you get an extremely a level of secrecy that has been it is significantly beyond what it's been in recent decades. You have to go back to the dark days of the Cold War, I think, to find the right analogy. So what we have is a lot of leak investigations going on. Anytime a story comes out that potentially involves classified information or grand jury information, you get demands for leak investigations. The Pentagon's conducting a lot of them. The CIA is conducting a lot of them. The Justice Department is conducting a lot of them. And this whole and so the whole question of reporters' privilege is very much under fire. And now we have this, you know, waiver form, which is appears to be catching on as a technique to end run reporters' pledges of confidentiality.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. And joining us first is Bob, who's in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I have a question, and I'll give my question and then just listen to the answer off the air.
Okay.
My question is, why should a reporter not be forced to reveal the name of a source who, in my view, has committed treason by revealing the name of any covert intelligence analyst?
You're talking about the Plame investigation.
Yes, but I'd like my question not to be limited to the lady in question, and it doesn't relate to this or any other presidential administration. I think this is a very important long-term issue. Hmm. And in my view, someone who reveals the identity of a covert agent has committed treason, and I don't think a reporter should be allowed to shelter that person. I'd like to hear your guest's opinion.
Mike Isikoff, and by the way, thanks for the call, Bob.
Well, I think the operative words there from the caller was "in my view," and of course, he's putting his making his judgments about what happened in this case, and before the investigation is complete, before we know what happened. You know, that said, that doesn't mean this isn't a serious investigation that Patrick Fitzgerald is doing into who leaked it. In fact, it was critics of the administration, including many members of the press, media outlets that were calling for a vigorous, independent investigation into this. The problem is that there are competing interests here, And in order for abuses, government abuses, to be become known to the public, it is essential that reporters are able to do their jobs, to be able to ferret out information. And in order to do that, they have to get people to talk. And they can't do that without offering confidentiality to sources. So generally, there is, you know, there, both the courts in the past and the Justice Department itself has recognized that there are competing interests between the demands of particular investigations and the needs of to preserve an independent press. And that's one reason why the Justice Department has very strict guidelines on subpoenaing information from reporters. Prosecutors need to exhaust all avenues of investigation before they can do so under DOJ guidelines. And the courts have said, in certain circumstances, the Supreme Court has indicated in its last major opinion on this issue that there ought to be some sort of balancing act that ought to be conducted in a particular case, Supreme Court. And then mm-hmm. Justice Lewis Powell wrote the decisive words on that. That's what is at issue now in this case coming up that's going to be argued before the Court of Appeals next week involving Judith Miller and Matt Cooper. Fitzgerald, the prosecutor, is essentially saying there is no reporter's privilege when there's a grand jury investigation at stake, and the press is saying there must be.
And just to point out, there are many states that have press shield laws that would protect reporters under these circumstances. There is no federal shield law, so that's why this case is still operative. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line, and this will be Martha. Martha's calling from Herbert, Massachusetts.
Hi. I'm calling to ask, why is the one reporter who clearly has, who knows who the person who released the name was, why is Robert Novak not in danger of going to jail?
Just some problems with Martha's cell phone for the listeners who couldn't pick it up. Robert Novak, the columnist who first broke the Valerie Plame story, she's asking, why hasn't he been questioned? Mike Isikoff.
That is the great mystery in this case, and that nobody has the answer to. Essentially, there are two, Mr. Novak and his lawyer are not talking, and neither is Fitzgerald, the prosecutor. There are two central theories, two main theories as to why not. One is that Mr. Novak has spoken to the grand jury and invoked his Fifth Amendment privilege not to testify. Another is that he may have cooperated with the government on some level and told him his version of events, and it doesn't square with other testimony that Fitzgerald has gotten or believes is out there, and that's why he's going in to other reporters. But all the major evidence in this case, including some of the key briefs that led to the contempt citation against Cooper and Miller, have been under seal. So we don't know what prompted the judge to grant Fitzgerald's motion that the reporters be held in contempt.
Mm-hmm. You talk to people in the government all the time. I wonder, is there a different climate now? Is your job more difficult because of things like the waiver rule?
Well, I don't know if it's so much about the waiver, but it's certainly gotten much more difficult in recent years because of the two factors I mentioned before. First, the sort of essential guiding philosophy of people in the Bush administration, which is that to have as limited loose talking as possible and as much to be conducted as behind closed doors without public disclosure. That's it's a general philosophy of government. Certainly it has its adherence, but it's not necessarily conducive to the kind of thing that I do. And secondly,
just interrupt briefly, it's fair to say every administration wants to keep everybody on message and not leak. Few are as good at it as this one.
It's fair to say that they're more disciplined in this White House and in this administration. Secondly, with the war on terror, virtually everything that the government does in the war on terror can be construed as covered in secrecy, involving some level of classified information. In fact, what you often find is, on one day, people will be telling you, we can't talk about it, it's classified. And then the next day, when it serves the government's interest in some way, they'll talk about it at great length. And so that's why the mere claim of it's classified, it's secret, doesn't really hold a lot of water for people in my profession.
I'm afraid we've got to cut you off for there. Mike Isikoff, an investigative correspondent for Newsweek magazine, we thank him very much. I'm Neil Conan. This is NPR News.